This call is now being recorded.
Grabación en inglés. This is an English language recording. Welcome, everybody. We're having another English language podcast. Welcome to the Diary of the Pato Cuervo. So here we are with a very special guest, my good friend, Lauren Johnson, who is going to talk to us about something very pointed. We could go into her life story, and that would make for a 5-series podcast. But we decided to narrow it down. Lauren is quite an interesting individual in her sense of humor, her outlook, her education, her background, all of that, and we'll be looking at it mostly through her analysis of her job and what goes on in it. Lauren is works in catering, that's one of her jobs anyhow, for weddings in Texas, in Austin. So we decided after a conversation that we had a few days ago that it would be an interesting idea to just talk about it and see how the world of Texas weddings is. And so, Lauren, welcome, and glad to have you.
Thank you.
Awesome. So when did you start? How did you get into it?
Well, okay. So, you know, it's the gig economy, right?
Yeah.
So, and I kind of think that, Pat, we kind of have to also mention that I was an adjunct English professor, too. Right? I think that's important.
Philosophy degree, creative writing degree, super bright creative individual.
Thank you.
Rest in this job, as many of us have had jobs that where we were overly educated for.
But you
have really had a chance to like get into it deeply, right? I mean, to your own personal
working like catering gigs. I mean, it is a gig. It's a gig economy gig. You know.
Yeah.
Even being an adjunct professor is a gig economy gig. So that's kind of how you end up sometimes when you're trying to basically shore up and cobble together a living, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it did actually happen quite early in, you know, in my 20s, I started doing this, just out of necessity, really. And, but over the years, you know, the gig economy became, you know, just accelerating so much that there are a lot of people who do things like this now for a living.
Right. Yeah. And so you started when you were in your 20s. You started here in California, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you brought it, or it was something that you could tap into because you had experience in it.
Yeah, and especially now there are, you know, so many platforms, you know, online, or just, you know, download an app and you can get on there, you know.
You've been for a while, right? Have you seen it change, like also geographically from here, from California where I'm set, to Texas, and also in terms of time, have things changed? Have weddings changed?
Oh, well, see, here's the thing. When I was younger, I was always the wedding party. Now that I'm older, I'm the wedding staff. So that's a huge change, actually. Yeah. And not a happy one either. So,
well, in terms of like the actual job, what does it entail?
It's pretty labor intensive. So, say that you have a wedding for 250 people, there's usually, you know, staff that's, they're not even salaried. They're, you know, part-time, temporary, you know?
Yeah.
So we set up everything, all the tables, all the glassware, which could be pretty intricate, you know? Yeah. At least in Texas, like the weddings that I've worked here, they all want it to be, you know, absolutely perfect. Not all of them, but pretty elaborate. In terms of the glassware, the silverware, everything, you know? Like I told you before, there was that one gig that I did to where the bride wanted us to measure 1 inch from the silverware from the end of the table. Because she spent $250,000 on this wedding.
How much?
$250,000.
Jesus. That's a lot of money. And it's just like a one day, $250,000.
Yeah.
So how many people work a wedding usually? Like, say like a 200.
That's the problem because it's the gig economy. It's usually understaffed. So you pretty much have about 6 people doing 20 billion jobs, you know?
And you have to carry boxes and, you know, lay out everything perfectly. It's like their special day.
Yeah, I mean, you have to lay out everything. and then comes the food service. Like, there's different, sometimes it'll be family style to where you just have, like, a buffet. Sometimes it'll be plated, which is usually the most difficult because then you have to have, you know, 6 people. Handing over plates to every guest. And, you know, we have to do it in teams, but generally there aren't enough people on the team to even do it. So it's very, you know, so it depends. I mean, sometimes it's easier. Some weddings are easier than others. If it's plated, it's usually difficult, as long as it's not understaffed. If it's family style, that's usually easier. So basically, you just bring the plates to each table, and then people serve themselves. But there's also other process, like appetizer passing, right, and drink passing. So after the ceremony, there's a lot of everyone from the at the wedding. You know, you walk around, pass them appetizers, pass them cocktails, usually champagne, and then after that, then dinner service, and then. Usually what the worst part is the breakdown.
What do you mean the breakdown?
Well, because you have to bus all of those tables, you know?
Right.
And then break down the chairs and the tables. Generally, there is another company that will come and take away the tables and the chairs, so that's easier, but the busing is really difficult.
You know?
It takes about 2 hours. Huh?
You collaborate with... people who, like, are providing other services to the wedding, right? Like,
whatever it is, you know, like the table, decoration, all of that. So, like, you show up at the wedding.
So they,
a couple hours before.
It's a different company. So they it's actually a rental service. So they rent out to the event location. They rent out the tables and the chairs and the linens and stuff like that.
And then what are the locations like?
What's what?
What are the locations like?
Well, actually, one of my favorite places, and it's weird that I even have a favorite place because everyone else that I know hates this place because it's really difficult to work. But it's a mansion outside of Austin, and a lot of people actually have weddings at places like this, old mansions, you know? And
why do you like that particular place?
I don't know. It's grown on me. I've worked it a lot, you know? It's in a town, like a city outside of Austin that I wish I could afford to live in.
Right.
You know? And I don't know, it's just grown on me. I've worked so many weddings there that...
You know it well.
Yeah, and, you know, as a writer, when you work jobs like this, you... I mean, as any human being, you don't have to be a writer, but as any human being, you know, when you work weddings, you just start thinking about your own life, you know, your own... love life, your own romantic situation, you know?
Right. And then also you probably, because you, with your sense of humor, you know, you start seeing through the bullshit also, right?
Yeah,
probably the pretense, you know, the, like, it's like a Disney World thing. Not to, I mean, you know, I just went to a wedding and it was beautiful, it was amazing. But, you know, if I were doing this weekend after weekend, then patterns would probably start emerging, you know, like how, who is in charge of the wedding? Who's it for? How old are the people generally? How much money do they have? How much above their or below their money are they spending, you know, their income? Like, tell us a few stories. I don't know, like. Do you generally like them? I'm just so curious on so many levels, you know.
Yeah, it really does depend. Like, I'm going to focus on this one place. It's called Woodbine Mansion that I've worked a lot. And, you know, of course, generally the couples who come through there to get married, they have money, you know.
Yeah.
They do. But... you can see there are differences. Like the last wedding I worked there, I really don't think that either of these two people were happy about this situation at all.
Really?
You know?
Yeah. How could you?
Because the, okay, so the bride wanted all the staff to stand in front of this hedge that wasn't tall enough. And she didn't want the wedding party to see her as the bride until she actually went down the aisle, right?
Yeah.
And so because we're just staff, we just stood there as a human wall, and that's exactly what we were called, you know?
Yeah.
A human wall to protect her from being seen before she walked down the aisle. And so in that position, all of us as a human wall, we could see the entire wedding party, including the bride, her father, the groom, and his mother. And there was one thing that really struck me is that the bride seemed very overwhelmed by the aspirations of her father, and the groom seemed very overwhelmed by the aspirations of this entire event. You know, he just did not seem happy about it at all.
What gave it away? What gave it away? Their body language, their faces.
Definitely body language. And in fact, to be honest with you, I have never. Can I say like you know?
Please.
Can I say fuck right now?
Yeah.
Okay, I have never fucking seen somebody as that groom as miserable as I have ever seen. And I've seen a hell of a lot of miserable people in my life. But this guy looked, he looked like he had like all of his limbs like just amputated like recently, you know? I mean, it was just, I actually felt bad for this fucking person, you know? He looked like the most miserable, inflicted, and like, you know, afflicted person I've ever fucking seen. You know, it was terrible.
They have so much money because, I mean, they're dropping that much money on a wedding. Either.
I know, but see, I mean, that's probably what it is. I mean, it is.
You're looking at him like he's the miserable.
It probably in a lot of ways is quite a business deal. I mean, you know, when you got married, you guys went to City Hall, you know?
Yeah.
because you love each other and that's what you wanted to do. You didn't have to have some huge production, you know?
Yeah. Also, I got married during the pandemic.
We didn't
invite anybody, you know.
Yeah.
It was just us and then maybe whoever was there. So ours was minimal. But I think it would have been minimal anyway, so but not as small. I've been to a few weddings, and you know it reminds me of a trial, you know, because a trial is all contingency and theater, you know, and it's like you how you talk to the judge, how the judge talks to you, where people sit, you know, stuff like that. In terms of fashion, like who, like how, what do they wear? You know, do you see any trends? Are people wearing different things now?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to say that, you know, weddings are, and probably always have been, a public announcement. That's the reason for the wedding, right? You're publicly announcing that you are, you know, becoming a union with this person. So the public aspect of it is very prevalent. It's very important, you know?
Yeah.
That's why people have guests to their marriage, you know? It's like, I'm publicly announcing that I will union, that I'm going to unionize, I guess, with this particular person. And I want everyone to see it and everyone will know. So, I mean, you can't forget that. That really is, like, I mean, we can talk about it all day, but,
right,
you know, there can't be a wedding without that public aspect, you know?
Yeah, I think people need that, like, step, that kind of ceremony in order to step into a new stage of their lives.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I mean, you know, why do you think that, like, you know, people on Facebook, you know, if they get into a relationship, they insist that people, like, say that you're in a relationship, you know,
right,
make it a public announcement.
That reminds me of a cartoon I read in the paper, like, a long time ago, where, you know, it was, like, husband and wife were getting married, and, you know, they've been through a horrible time to get married, you know, kind of obstacles. And he says, oh, baby, we have finally made it. We're married. And then she's like, no, we're not. We haven't made it yet. And he's like horrified. You know, it's like, why? And it's like, well, because we haven't posted it on social media yet, you know?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
That's another aspect. So, like, you know, pictures, the fashion, the style, the ceremony.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I've noticed working these weddings.
Yeah.
Every single groomsman, every single male who's in the wedding party, and even the guests always wear the same thing. And
really?
It drives me crazy.
What is it?
The dark blue suits with the brown leather shoes.
Oh, right. The shiny leather
shoes. Yes. Have you seen this? Oh, my God, man. Everyone.
Right. Yeah, no, I'd rather, you know, black is the color. Blue, I don't know.
Dark blue, yeah, dark blue suits, brown shoes, you know? And this is weird to me because, like, this is something that came back, like, when I was in my 20s, you know, with men wearing brown shoes and whatever. It's still here, you know? It's like they're just clinging on to something, and then, like, it's always, like, a brightly colored tie, kind of like, like Saul Goodman style, brightly colored tie with like dark blue suit and brown shoes. It's just.
Do you see any? I don't know how to. Mm-hmm. You see all kinds of weddings. Do you see any differences, say, at the ethnic level? You know, like, do people do different things depending on their ethnicity? As far as you can tell.
Most of the weddings that I've worked are just white people, like Gringos, you know?
Yeah, if you're talking 250K, then I guess
So I guess we'll be focusing on white weddings, like the song by Billy Idol.
Oh God! And here's another thing: the music. Yeah. Oh my Lord! It's always the same stuff. It's always like I've noticed that like these people like see I haven't really done very many. I have friends who work the same gigs and they did do, you know, a wedding from people who were not, like, you know, rich white people, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, gringo white people.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, according to them, it was a hell of a lot more festive. It was more relaxed and things. Like, not that the weddings that I've done are not relaxed, but
yeah.
The music is
what's the music?
It always comes from, like, I can tell how old the married couple is by the music,
yeah.
Because it always comes from music that came out when they were in college.
Right.
Yeah.
How old are they? Like, if you had to do, like, an average age, what would you
see, that's another thing. I think that people are getting married later. They're, like, in their early 30s. Maybe mid-30s.
And then also maybe some of them are, it's like their second marriage, right?
No, not with these people. I don't think so. No.
I guess if you're dropping that much money on a wedding, it would be have to be your first wedding, because if it's your second time around, then, you know, you would know better than to spend $300,000 or something.
Exactly. Yeah, but no, I do you think that this is, you know, these people's first marriage? They just waited longer, because I think that a lot of people have to wait longer now because they want to actually be financially stable. And I think it takes people longer to get financially stable to even get married and have children now. So.
And then in terms of, like, the songs, what songs do you hear? Like, you say, because, like, let's say they're, like, 35, 36, so what would be, like, their go to hits from the time they were in college or like late high school or something?
I hear a lot of stuff from The Killers.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember 2005, The Killers, everything that came out in the aught 2000s, you know, in the early the early aughts, you know?
Sure.
2005, 2006.
Do white Americans dance? Or
oh, God. You really want me to talk about that, do you?
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, I wouldn't, like, if I went to, like, a Hispanic Latino wedding, you have to see some dancing, and it has to be, like, tropical salsa, that kind of stuff. Otherwise, it's like, it's you know, you have not gotten married until everybody's drunk and dancing. It's a different thing. Also, you
let
know,
me
it's
just
most
say, let me just say, I would rather watch people dance at a Hispanic wedding than I would at what I have to see. This, it's not even dancing. It's basically just like a bunch of people just holding up their drink and like trying not to fall over. That's the equivalent of the dance moves that are going on here. So,
and like, do they get wasted?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Totally.
And I bet you see like hookups and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, they get wasted. And one thing in Texas, oh God, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. Another thing is, like, at late night, they'll have, like, McDonald's, like, deliver, like, cheeseburgers and chicken nuggets for, like, late night snacks.
Wait. So they just spend like, $200,000 or whatever on a wedding, and then they have them deliver you know, chicken nuggets, but
oh my God, and yeah, and the food too. Oh my God, at Texas weddings, it's generally the same there. It really is. predominantly meat. But I do have to say that, you know, it is in Austin, so there is you know, an option for vegan options and vegetarian options too. But for the most part, it's meat, you know?
Yeah.
it's always the same thing. Brisket, potatoes, chicken, vegetables, and also those late night snacks. If it's not McDonald's, it's biscuits with chicken nuggets on it drizzled with honey, which is basically like diabetes in a box.
Yeah. It's like have a go all out before marriage.
Get out your insulin.
With the food or not?
What's that?
Are they generally satisfied with the food or are they... Do you get a lot of like very picky people who try to, you know, thinking it's a restaurant, return things or?
No, not at all. In fact, you know, one thing that I have to say about like working these weddings in Texas, generally everyone that you're going to meet, all the guests are actually very nice people.
Okay.
And they treat the staff well. You know, they don't look down on us. They don't do anything like that. They're actually, for the most part, what I've experienced, generally very nice people.
And do they tip?
Yeah, they do. They do. And they tip well, but it always goes to the company itself, who never tips out the staff. So.
Wait, what? They keep the tips?
Yep.
How is that? That's not legal. Has to be legal.
It is. But, yep.
That's horrible.
It is horrible. Like, my sister, for example, she works for a catering company who handles a lot of these weddings.
Yeah.
And because she's part-time, she could be one of four people just doing this whole thing. And the event managers, they always pocket the tips. The wedding party or whoever, you know, the married couple and their parents, they always tip the catering company like a couple of $1,000, you know, for the staff.
Right.
But
right. And they give you
not very often does it ever go to the staff.
That's like really horrible.
It is.
So, you know, if anybody's going to get
and
married.
If you work if you don't, like me, I'm just working like a platform, like a gig economy platform. So I'm not even included in this at all, you know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's pretty cutthroat.
You have to, like, get to these country clubs or hotels. What's the preferred day of the week for a wedding?
It's always Saturday.
Saturday? And then, like, you know, because there aren't a lot of buses or trains on Saturday, not as many. So you probably have to get up really early.
No. I've worked plenty of weddings to where they hire buses.
Oh, so they pick you up and then, okay.
Yeah,
There you go.
Huh?
I'm making it sound worse, and I'm looking for the drama here. But you have to be on your feet, and what do you wear? What do you have to wear?
Oh, see, that's another thing. You have to wear black slacks and a black button-down T-shirt or shirt, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, so you're supposed to look, you know, well put together. But at the same time, before the event even happens, you're moving chairs. You're doing everything. By the middle of the night, even though you're, you know, looking like somebody who's supposed to look fabulous, you got food, dust, and dirt, and all kinds of shit all over you. You look like a piece of garbage, you know, because, they ask you to come wear this shit in order to look good. But, yeah, I mean, it's
really hot sometimes. You know,
you're like, you know, feeling somebody's wine glass and you look like you just crawled out of a fucking dumpster, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
And you have to be on your feet for like long periods of time.
Yes.
Yeah. But do you get to take food home?
Huh?
Do you get to take food home?
Oh, yes. That's actually a benefit of it. But unfortunately, you know me.
Yeah.
I'm quite a good cook, right?
Yeah.
The high standards.
Mm.
All right? So, yeah, you can take some food home, but, you know, it's not really. And it really bothers me, too. It's like, you know, why don't you take me off yeah, why don't you take me off the server staff and put me as, you know, in the kitchen? We might be able to pull this off a little bit better.
Like, if you could, like, do your own wedding, what would you do and what would you not do based on your experience?
Oh, Jesus. I mean, that would have to depend on who I was marrying.
What is the love of your life, okay? And then, you know, you have, I don't know, you have 200 grand to, like, burn through, but it has to be spent on the wedding.
My wedding.
Yeah, your own wedding. So what, based on your experience, which is vast, what would you do? You have to spend every penny. You can't put it in the stock market or anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it the way that the weddings that I work. It's a waste of money. To me, it's a waste of money, you know?
Because of the divorce rate, 50%?
No,
50% divorce rate, and if you think on your second marriage is like 60 something, and then, you know, third marriage is like 80.
Yeah. Hey, you didn't mention that. Like, you treated it like it would be my only marriage, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. If I had to spend $200,000 on a wedding,
this would be spent on that.
It had to be my wedding. Would it have to be my?
It has to be your wedding. What would you do?
Oh, man, you know, probably just, I don't think I would want to get married in America.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would you do? But you know, I'm interested in the details, like,
Okay, yeah. I would keep it very relaxed. Everything would be relaxed. I wouldn't, you know, want to hire all this staff, because there's one thing about it that I don't like. It's just sort of a hierarchy, and it bothers me,
right?
You know, when you're doing these weddings, when you're working these weddings, and
people
are expecting, even though they're nice to you, but they're expecting that there is in fact a hierarchy there, you know,
right?
Like, you know, the fact that just because two people are getting married, that they are at some point or some way, like, have a higher status than everybody else. I would never do that. I would not have a pretentious wedding.
Even though it's a mirage. I really do think it's a mirage, you know, because, you know, people come up and then they fall. Not everybody, but, you know, who's to say that some of those guests in, you know, the future might be working in the service sector. And, you know what I mean? So it's a little bit of theater. Like,
it is. It's absolutely theater. It's absolutely that. And it's a dream, too. You know? Like, you know, everyone wants their dream wedding. You know, all of it. That's exactly what it is. It's a dream. So, yeah, when you see people going through this, like, walking through the motions of this dream that they've always had, and you can see straight clearly through it, just as, you know, some lowly, you know, staff member, whatever, you know, but it's like, you still have to just wish them all the luck. You know, you can't just sit there and brood and be like, fuck you, you know.
So you forbid blue suits with shiny brown.
Absolutely. There is no way in hell. There is no way in hell.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. If any guest at my wedding showed up in that, I'd just turn them away, throw a glass of champagne in their fucking face and kick them in the ass. Yeah.
Okay, and then in terms of religious leaders or whatever, so 99% are Christian.
Actually, at these weddings, yes, there's usually some sort of prayer before food and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I've experienced. But, you know, I've been living in Texas for 5 years now. I mean, everyone's like that here for the most part, you know?
That's normal.
But, it is normal. And, you know what, it's become so normalized to me that, like, that's that's just their thing. I'm not going to sit there and tell them what to believe and how to live their lives, you know. So
73% of Americans are Christian, so therefore we follow. But, okay, so how about in terms of the speeches? Is that, you see any patterns there? Anything? Any
How does one do a speech?
Yeah, just tell me about that.
It's usually the groom's best man. Acting like, you remember like all those 80s movies to where there's always that bad influence, bad boy, best friend that every man ever had?
Yeah, sure.
Right? Okay.
Mm.
Like, fucking Jim Belushi being like, he could have got more pussy, but he decided to get married. You know, so it's kind of like that, but like really watered down. So it always like follows that type of thing. And then, you know, if that makes any sense at all, the maid of honor for the wife, she generally just wants to make sure that her best friend's husband's going to treat her right. So these are like the things that come through in those speeches.
It's like
aggression on different spectrums, you know?
Nice. If you got married and you had your $200,000, you would need somebody to say some speeches. You know, maybe you could get Alina, your friend Alina, to do a speech. You know, I can imagine.
We'd have to make sure that Alina was at least sober enough to.
Have you seen when I was young, a kid essentially, my grandparents celebrated their silver wedding or something like that. They've been married for
Is that 50 years?
Something like that. I think 45, or, you know, I don't remember exactly, but at the end of the wedding, you know, some guests, I'm not going to say who because my family, but I should, jumped in, were so drunk that they jumped into the swimming pool, you know.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that was horrible. And, you
Why
know.
Why was it horrible? Why?
Because it was just like a very drunken thing. And, yeah. Have you seen anything like that? Have you seen any moves like that or fights, or does it ever get ugly? You know, I'm hunting for the kind of more extreme situations here.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't have them for you. You know, it's like, no, I haven't seen anything like that. It's just, basically just me being sad while working a wedding. Because I have a broken heart because my relationship is fucked up right now. You know, I mean, that's like basically the pinnacle of the drama.
So, do they ever pity you, like the guests?
Huh?
Do you ever have men hitting on you?
Oh, yeah. Cheating on me?
Yeah.
Wait, men cheating on me? Like the guests?
Not cheating.
At the wedding?
Hitting on you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How does that, like, can I have some more brisque or something? Brisque?
No, they just flirt. But, you know, I mean, generally they're, like, 20 years younger than I am, so.
Right.
It's just.
But, you know,
and I look like garbage. Like I said, I already look like garbage because it's like, I, you know, doing these weddings in Austin, it's usually like 90 degrees to 100 degrees. So we're all just sweating. We look exhausted. We're like limping around with fucking like trays of appetizers.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh, what is this? And you're like, I don't know.
I mean, maybe they're craving some, like, to step out of the dream, you know what I mean? Like, something more real in terms of the
I don't know, man. You know, young men these days, we just don't know.
A lot of men nowadays are shyer than they used to be because of social media, you know.
Not in my day,
oh, really? Okay.
No. They're more respectful, but I wouldn't say they're shy.
They'll let you know.
Yeah.
Now, getting a little more serious, okay?
Oh, shit.
Like, just on a more personal level, because we have about 10 minutes, 15 at the most. You know, how do you feel being somebody who's got, like, a philosophy degree from, like, UCLA and, you know, creative writing from Maryland? No. We have a master's in creative writing, too, right, from... Remind me the college.
I have a BA in philosophy from UCLA. I have an MFA in writing from the University of New Hampshire and with a minor in college teaching. And I have 2 graduate level teaching certificates from SF State for teaching composition and post-secondary reading. And I finished all of my coursework for an MA in English.
So the thing that I'm trying to ask you, I want to ask it in the right way because there's absolutely nothing wrong.
Just do it both, man. Do it both.
Well, but I want to ask it right, not because I just want to be precise. So, like, I think it's totally fine if one leaves. Like, academia is not the only route. So, like, if you were leaving the world of academia for, because you were making more money in, like, I don't know, say playing poker or whatever, or through your own business, then it would be quite all right. But, or because you love baking, you wanted to start your own bakery. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen that happen. I've seen people leave law school because they wanted to pursue their whatever, right? Or their high-end job to pursue whatever. But you are doing it kind of from a place of, it's not something like, oh, I love catering or it pays well. It actually doesn't pay well. And, you know, I mean, there could be worse things that one could do. But, you know what I'm trying to get at? It's like, do you feel like sidetracked by the system that like push you in that direction or personal choices? You want to say anything about that or you could just not if you don't want to?
Look, I didn't leave the world of academia. The world of academia left me. And it's left hundreds of thousands of people.
Right.
Okay?
And
no,
even those who
no,
in
I
it
am
are...
Not, no, I am not happy. I am not happy as, you know, some garbage lady after I spent, you know, a quarter of my life trying to become something else. No, I'm
money.
Not happy about it at all.
And money and time, you know.
And sacrifice, too.
But, you know, it also, you know, there's another thing, too, Lauren. It's not just that. The world as academia, as you put it, left you, but the fact that you're, like, they take advantage of you, of the employees in the gig economy, okay? Like,
I know, but being an adjunct is also a part of the gig economy now, too.
Exactly. So that's a very good point. And, you know, it's kind of equivalent in some weird ass way. You know what I mean?
Because I
had to struggle to get health insurance. Like, you have no idea, like, beg and threaten to quit. And, you know, I teach
many courses. So
I know, and you've given quite, and you provide a good service. You're good at what you do. You're a good teacher.
I teach in both languages. You know, it's like I really provide them with, like, and yet they didn't want to give me health insurance. So how I know it's different, but in some ways being an Uber driver, which I was for a while, or delivering pizza, is not that different. Yeah, there's more money in working at the community college level than driving Uber, but they, you know, the kind of setup is the same, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is definitely the same. And, you know, another one thing that is, you don't have to take your work home with you, you know?
Can you explain that?
Well, you know, when you're doing these catering gigs, when you're done, yeah, you're going to be limping home because you're exhausted physically, but you don't have to go home and grade papers and answer student emails and deal with all your students' crises. You know, I mean, I'm sure you had to deal with that too. It's like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's a lot more to that job than just being a teacher, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes I really, you know, this sounds weird, but I miss my days as a pizza delivery driver because I got to take pizza home and I love pizza and I got tips and I the car. And I would speed through the streets of L.A. smoking cigarettes and listening to rock and roll, you know, and wearing...
Yeah, and you go home and read, like, a Proust novel, you know, so you're able to, like, shore up everything, you know.
Yeah. So now I have to show up
and
at a certain time.
And work on your novels. You'd have
work
time
on
to work on your novels, you know.
Yeah. Now, they pay more, at, you know, when you teach, but also... They expect a kind of discipline. I mean, there's the red line for me would be like if they asked me to, like if they chose the books for me, I've told you this before, then I would quit like the next day. You know, I get to pick the novels or whatever books I teach.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of freedom, you know.
But, you know, I mean, it is always what it comes down to is the, you know, you got to think about what you're imparting to the world, right? So, you know, there's a difference there. Because if I can teach you, if I'm in a job to where I can teach people how to, you know, become better writers, better readers, better thinkers, that's a great thing. But when you're working another job to where basically all you are is just somebody cleaning up your dirty dishes,
right. That's
another thing, you know?
Yeah.
So that takes a hit. That takes a hit on somebody, especially if they spent, you know, so much of their time getting educated. And it's not only, you know, it's all the professional work that we had to do, too. Like, you know, the seminars, the, you know, everything, the volunteer work, everything like that. So it just basically... Mm-hmm. Shut you down, and sometimes you just feel like, wow, you know, I was kind of in the position to be this person, and now I'm just a bus boy, you know.
What are the people you work with? What's their outlook? Like, who are they?
Well, actually, it's pretty sad. The last time I had the last wedding that I worked, they were actually elementary school teachers.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. You know,
like,
there's our structural, there's so many, like, structural issues here.
Absolutely.
And, you know, not to mention, look, not everybody can get married at Mar-a-Lago, you know what I mean? So, we need, like, structures in society to, and they're about to, like, dismantle the Department of Education, and,
yeah,
I mean, politically and stuff like that, so... The line between those who are on top, so to speak, and those who are below is quite thin, and it could give away any minute the ground below their feet. You know what I mean? Like, I'm afraid of that, actually.
Yeah, and is so inverted too, because when you think about who's on the bottom right now and what they contribute to American society, and you think about the people on top and what they contribute to American society, it's a joke.
Joke, you know, because a lot of money that comes to people comes from A, investing, you know, like just put it somewhere and just let the money work for them if they have enough, and also inheritance, properties, you know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
It's about to get worse, obviously.
I know.
So, you know, that's why I'm fascinated, you know, I'm fascinated by the dynamics of work and, you know, class and the mirages of class and how people perceive themselves, how they spend their money, you know, what people do to get to work, transportation. It's hard for me to get settled, you know, like I lived in the States illegally for years, you know, and then now that I'm kind of doing okay, but it's like I don't lose sight of the gig economy, you know what I mean? Like you say, I am in the gig economy, except I have a lot of gigs.
Yeah, it's very exploitive, you know?
That has to be addressed, you know? I don't know. It's too big of a conversation. We're talking about weddings here, but...
Especially living in Texas, you know, it's like... So many people, and I'll make this brief, but like so many people who come here from, you know, from South in some ways or another, you know, many of the countries.
The United States or the South of the global?
South of the United States. They're completely exploited here, you know.
What are some more typical Texas exploitative practices that you can see in like California?
Landscaping companies out here, especially in Austin, because Austin has chosen to, rather than build mass transit, to build highways, right? So it's just the same old thing as usual, just cheap labor.
And, you know, a lot of that cheap labor is provided by immigrants. Do you see, like, there's a kind of movement of white Americans away from that kind of labor? You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's been my experience that they're always the bosses.
They're always one,
They're always the bosses.
Yeah. So,
and it doesn't make sense because they're not nearly as competent or even experienced as the people that they're employed. You know?
Sometimes, I mean, I have nothing against my own bosses, but in my experience, it's the employees that carry the business forward, not the...
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Absolutely. You know? There would be no business without them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Just like these fucking weddings that I work, there would be no business, you know? It's like, it really sucks when you're doing this shit and they're making hundreds of thousands, well, I don't know how much they make, but whatever. There would be no event without us, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of makes you feel like, you know, you're just like a philanthropist. You're just like a poor philanthropist, but some sort of volunteer, you know.
Right.
You're trying to cobble together a living.
Disney World. Mira.
But no, I mean, Texas is just, oh God, it's just, you know, I mean, there's so many people out here. who, you know, they come from different countries and they're really like educated and experienced and skilled at what they do. Yeah. And then they come out here and they're paid like they're working at McDonald's. You know?
Right. Yeah. But, you know, also I've seen on the other hand, though, some people who come to the States from abroad in different countries, they move up and then they turn their backs on those who are still struggling, whether it be from whatever country or ethnicity. And like, you know, I moved up in the world, so therefore, you know, I closed the door behind me kind of thing. I shut the door behind me. That's not the way it should be. So we need a revolution. I'm only half kidding, of course.
Well, I think we've established one thing, that things are a mess. You know?
Yeah.
For everyone, actually. You know.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows what kind of debt some people are getting into to get married. You know what I mean? Like, here in LA, I drive, and then I see these amazing cars, you know, like Bugattis and Ferraris. And you know, sometimes I think, like, oh, my God, they people do so well, and I'm, you know, taken by that, but then I think, like, how many of those people actually have paid for those cars?
Oh,
how many
God,
of them?
Credit.
How many of them have been working for 2 years paying them off, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But one thing I would certainly never, ever, ever spend $200,000 on a wedding. If I got married, I would take maybe $5,000 of that for the wedding.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
just so I could pay, you know, the staff, and then I'd take the rest of it, that, you know, the rest of it, and just put it into a future with my betrothed.
Yeah. If I got married, the only thing I would want to make sure of is that there would be good food, a good variety of food, and there would have to be.
You know what? At my wedding, I would make my own food.
There you go.
I would be the caterer to my own wedding, okay?
And you would
yes.
pay yourself. Yeah. Well,
when yeah. I pay, you know, but I would want my food to be good, so I'd make it myself. Mm.
And I would be a DJ at my own wedding.
Oh, shit. See, that's another thing. I would have to pay a really good DJ.
Right. So... anyway, I'm going to have a birthday party pretty soon, and maybe I'll be the DJ at my wedding party, at my birthday party.
Yeah, well, it's going to have to be remote, baby, because I can't move. I'm like broke.
What if we have you cater my birthday party, and then we cater it and we pay ourselves.
You just pay my plane ticket there and back, and I'll cater the whole thing. But you have to buy the food, though, because unless I can get food stamps, I might be able to get food stamps.
We'll do that. We'll pay them. You know what Japanese people do on New Year's? What they eat? They eat KFC. So
what?
Yeah, it's a tradition to eat KFC.
Oh, my God.
So we'll have some traditional Japanese New Year's fare.
Well, you know, these days, the fucking prices, it'll cost us about $120.
Yeah, you know, Popeyes would be at least a little step up, you know what I mean?
$250.
There you go.
For a bucket of chicken.
Yeah. And champagne. There you go.
Okay, well, we'll get like a crate of Saint Andre. Like 5 bucks a bottle.
And you know, but whatever the case, blue suits and brown
shoes are strictly forbidden.
Yes. In fact, if I ever see you wearing one of those, fucking, I will kick you in the balls.
There you go.
I won't kick you in the balls because I love you and I respect you, but I will be very disappointed.
Thank you. No, don't worry. That's not going to happen. I think I would go over the top, you know, over the top than just average. You know what I mean? So I went to my friend's wedding I wore a golden, how do you call the small ties? Professor ties. How do you call those? You know what I'm talking about?
Bow ties. Yeah.
I wore a bow tie and, you know, I did not wear a blue, suit, but you know.
All right. I'm going to go through your Facebook pages and your pictures and I'm going to make sure.
Wow. All right. So, you know, I mean, also because I'm a lot of my friends, particularly like the slightly younger ones, are getting married left and right.
So I think
Pablo got married, yeah. So for the next, and his wedding was amazing. Pablo, if you're hearing this, this is about Texas, you know, weddings, okay? This is not about weddings in Mexico. So, but you know, that's all right because this is a secret podcast. So anyway, Lauren, thank you so much for enlightening us as to the world of the wild world of weddings in Texas, Central Texas.
Tejas. That's what I call it. Tejas.
Yeehaw.
Tejas.
Take care. Take care, and we'll talk about other items next time.
All right.
Appreciate it. I'm going to stop. All right. Appreciate it. Hold on a sec. Okay. Bye-bye.